The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Monday to you. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm glad you've joined us. Today we're going to talk about a book that's very special to me. You might say, why are we talking about books? Well, whether you knew it or not, GES, the ministry that puts on this radio show, has a vast array of books that we have published, and we want to share those with as many people as possible. So in doing that, we are going to begin a series that we call What's in the GES Bookstore. And I got the opportunity to sit down with Dr. Bob Wilkin recently and to talk to him about a favorite little book of mine called The Hungry Inherit. I want to share that conversation with you now. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and myself talking about The Hungry Inherit on Grace in Focus. Bob, I thought today we would start a series called What's in the Bookstore.
Oh, that's good.
As many people may know or may not, GES, which is the organization that puts on this radio show, has an entire publishing, could we call it a wing, a division? You guys have made so many books. And so we thought we should talk about some of them, because some of them have had some almost historic impact. You know, they've really had something to say at really important points in what I would call modern theological history.
So, yeah, I think one of them we're going to talk about goes back over 50 years.
There you go. Yeah, so I think the one that we're going to do today is what I've got in my hand. It's got a beautiful cover on it. You can get this at faithalone.org, probably on Amazon as well. Is that
right.
Correct? This is called The Hungry Inherit. It's by Zane Hodges. And so, Bob, what I thought we ought to start with is why this book was needed. What was the nature of the theological discussions that were going on at the time? What was kind of the setup for the need for The Hungry Inherit?
The Hungry Inherit was done by Zane Hodges, who became my mentor both during my 7 years at Dallas Seminary and then afterwards as well. This book was originally published in 1970 by Moody Press. Then in 1980, Multnomah Press took it over. And then later, Redención Viva, Zane Hodges' publishing ministry, took it over. And then later, Grace Evangelical Society took it over. Basically, this book is an expose of, I don't know if expose is the right word, but John chapter 4, The Woman at the Well.
Okay.
And what's interesting, it's unlike any other book that Zane Hodges wrote. It's kind of written in a biography kind of a style.
Yeah.
And so he talks about the woman at the well, and, for example, the first chapter is discovering the gift of God.
Yeah.
And this is where Hodges emphasizes that Jesus was talking to her about everlasting life.
Yeah.
And that she didn't get it. But that's where he was going in the story, and his point throughout this book, The Hungry Inherit, is that's where we should be going too.
Yeah.
When we share our faith, we shouldn't have the idea that we're just going to throw some information at the person and hope something sticks.
Mm.
Instead, we've got intentionality in what we're doing. We're intentional. We're wanting the person to understand that the gift of God is everlasting life that can never be lost, and it is a gift.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we tell them how they get that gift. And he has other chapters talking about true spiritual food and that we are God's workmanship. The life-giving word, verse 41, that we get this life through the word of God and that we're born from above, talking about Nicodemus, of course, and the seed of the word. And he talks about discipleship and how that is not the same as everlasting life. Then he talks about the faith that lives and riches of the world to come, that we can gain rewards forever. And all of this is for the one who is thirsty.
Yeah.
So that if we're people who are seeking God and we're responsive to God, well, then we're going to gain everlasting life, because ultimately God is going to reveal to us the truth of John 3:16 or the truth of John 4:10 through 26.
You know, one thing I love about this book, which is kind of unique among theological books, because I would put this in the theological category, but Zane had some really beautiful prose at the beginning of each of the chapters where he took a biblical narrative, and he kind of expanded on it in very, it's almost like reading a novel at the beginning of some of these chapters, because he kind of gives a sense of what was going on, and it's a pleasant read. It really is masterfully done.
Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with the term genre. Genre is G-E-N-R-E, and it's pronounced with kind of an S sound, genre.
Genre, yeah.
And genre is a type of literature. And so, for example, the Bible has many different genres.
Yeah.
Gospel is holy biography, right? And then apocalyptic literature is a different genre. Epistles are a different type of genre. Hodges' writings have different genres, and this one is unique among all his books. Maybe you could argue that Power to Make War is of a similar genre.
Yeah, kind of has a similar feel.
But this one is written more from the standpoint of prose. There's not a lot of scripture mentioned. He's not quoting a lot of side verses and things. It's very easy to follow, and this is one of his most beloved books for those reasons.
Yeah, and it's a simple and beautiful presentation of the gospel and some of the sort of surrounding issues that go with it. And you could hand this book to just about anybody. I mean, it feels like it's for the layman. I mean, a pastor could read it, obviously, but just about anybody could pick it up and really enjoy it. I'm wondering if maybe that has to do with why so many publishers over the years have wanted to have it as part of their, you know, kind of in their wheelhouse, because it's got a powerful thing to say as people read through it.
Well, I know a lot of people have used it in Bible studies because it gets people into the text of Scripture. And as I recall, Hodges talks about both kinds of inheritance. The hungry inherit in terms of the passive inheritance that every believer has, like Romans 8:17. If we're believers, then we're heirs of God. But then we're also joint heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer with him.
Yeah.
The idea of the treasures of the world to come is the second kind of inheritance, to being a joint heir with Christ. And that requires discipleship. And so he's introducing themes that become powerful in all of his later works.
Yeah.
Like he has a book on eternal rewards that came out later called Grace in Eclipse.
Yeah.
And he has one on the Gospel Under Siege, which deals with more the issue of the passive inheritance.
Yeah.
And then the active inheritance is Grace in Eclipse.
The copy I have in my hand right now is the version that was with Multnomah, and it was in 1980 that they ran it. But
right.
When it was with Moody, do you remember what year that would have been?
I'm pretty sure it was 1970. Of course, Hodges taught at Dallas Seminary between 1959 and 1986. When this first came out, he'd been on the faculty about 11 years at Dallas Seminary.
So what was the theological scenery like at that time? Like, what was he trying to answer with this? Because my guess is that he had a mission that he wanted to accomplish with this book. What was that?
Okay, well, in 1970, this was kind of the golden era at Dallas Seminary.
Okay.
A lot of people have told me, and I remember hearing Zane Hodges talking about that it was somewhere between around 1960 and, say, 1980 or 75, something like that. And during that time, the faculty was relatively small, the student body was relatively small, and all the faculty had a more powerful influence. I came in 78, and at that point, I think we had something like 70 faculty members.
Wow.
There were lots of faculty you'd never take in the course of 4 years at Dallas Seminary.
I see. Okay.
Yet in the earlier years, you'd take almost everybody. Although the term Lordship Salvation already existed in 1970, it wasn't a real prevalent idea until John MacArthur came out with the Gospel According to Jesus in 88, and at that point, it became much more popular.
Yeah.
But at this point at Dallas Seminary, Hodges' position was, I would say, a fairly common position at Dallas Seminary.
Okay.
What he puts in The Hungry Inherit wasn't the position of all the faculty, but I would say it was probably the position of maybe half the faculty. Maybe many of the others were at least free grace friendly.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there in 78, I would say the situation had shifted significantly to where there were only a handful of faculty that were strongly with Hodges. I remember Craig Glickman strongly with him. Jackie Deere, who's now Jack Deere, he was strongly with him. Tom Constable, Elliot Johnson, Charles Ryrie.
Yeah.
Those guys were all strongly with Hodges, but there were a lot of people who were criticizing him all during my THM and doctoral program.
Wow. Okay.
And in fact, he ultimately left in 1986 because he came to the conclusion that the de facto doctrinal position of Dallas Seminary was inconsistent with what he was teaching. In other words, he was out of step. Even though he was teaching what the doctrinal statement said, he felt he should no longer stay because he was out of step with everybody else.
Yeah.
And so I feel fortunate that I was there between 78 and 85 because Hodges was still there all that time. He was my advisor, my first reader on my thesis. He was my advisor, my first reader on my dissertation. Both I did on free grace topics. The thesis was on the perseverance of the saints and taking a free grace perspective that we're called to persevere, but for reward, not for life, just like the hungry inherit.
Yeah.
And for my dissertation, I did the issue of repentance and salvation, and I argued that turning from sins is never a condition of everlasting life. And so I'm very appreciative, but what was going on when he first wrote The Hungry Inherit was this was the golden era of Dallas Seminary, but it was beginning to shift.
Yeah.
By the way, Dallas was accredited, I believe it was 72 or 73. So when he first wrote this, Dallas was an unaccredited school. I don't know if you know, Harvard Divinity School and Harvard University never have been accredited, and they don't need it.
Yeah, the
and
reputation.
Dallas Seminary didn't need it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sorry that Dallas Seminary got it, because when it was accredited, we then sent the faculty off to Europe to get fancy degrees from Oxford and Cambridge and Sheffield and Edinburgh and all kinds of schools. The result was the faculty came back changed.
Wow.
And the school began to change.
Yeah.
Because if you go and you sit under liberal faculty members for your doctoral program, it's going to influence you.
Wow.
I believe that by the time I got there in 78, it had already shifted significantly, and it just kept on.
Well, so in a sense, The Hungry Inherit by Zane Hodges is, it's kind of a time capsule of some captured thought. In my experience in reading it, gives me total freedom to say, I think you ought to get a copy of The Hungry Inherit. You can get it at faithalone.org. I think it would really bless you in your maturing in the Word. And also just, it's a fun read. So hopefully you can get you a copy of that. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about a great book called Confident in Christ. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.